Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
And we've got the doctor. Dr. Justin Biala joins us in just a second, but both Chicago and Cook County have moved from low to medium risk for COVID-19. The Chicago Department of Public Health announced today that cases are continuing to rise across the area. And due to the move, CPDH officials are, quote, strongly recommending wearing a face covering in public. Indoor spaces, of course. Chicagoans are also encouraged to stay up to date on vaccinations and booster shots, as well as test for the virus should any symptoms appear. Here's Dr. Rachel Rubin from CDPH.
When we're in the medium risk level, what the CDC recommends, in fact, what our health department recommends is, frankly, that everybody should be masking indoors. For us to even consider a mandate versus just strong recommendations, we would really have to see an increased strain on our healthcare. My hunch is it'll level out at some point and we'll dip, but we could have another one. But it won't probably result in serious injury or significant deaths.
To answer some of your questions and my questions and address the issue is Dr. Justin Biala, critical care medicine and pulmonology at Northwestern Memorial Hospital. How are you today, doctor?
I'm doing very well. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for joining us. What can you tell us about the subvariant that, you know, we're seeing cause a rise in cases, not just in Chicago, but worldwide?
Sure. So I think really all we can say about this new variant is that it is more infectious than its previous Omicron subvariant. I think with all of these, the difficult piece is that we always see the cases ticking up before we really know what to make of, the severity of illness or any of the things that kind of come after the actual initial infection. And so what I would say is, whenever we see these patterns starting to represent, I think the smartest thing that anyone can do is start to re-implement a lot of those measures that may have fallen to the wayside as things were downtrending previously. So things like, reinstituting the 6-foot distance if you're, in a room with somebody, and then certainly putting on a mask, because we do know that masks are the best way to, even if you're in a room with someone who is infected and maybe spreading the virus, it actually it increases the amount of time if you're wearing different types of masks to actually then procure or get infected with the virus.
This new Omicron subvariant, are we calling it BA.2.1.2.1 or is it BA.2.12.1? How do you identify it?
Yeah, so I've actually heard it both ways. And so I think it's fair. And if you look on the IDPH website about the subvariants, they break it down into the BA2 and then the BA2.12.1. So from that standpoint, what we're seeing now is that there's this climbing number of those new subvariants compared to that BA2.
Doctor, I'm trying to get the right or get some perspective on this because it is more contagious and more people are coming down with it, but we're not dying. I mean, the city is averaging less than one death a week in this case. And so can you put all of this into some sort of a perspective, even though we might be more inclined to contract the disease? Is it less potent, or help me out with that?
Yeah, excellent question. And I think that's the right question for a lot of people and the one that people are really, struggling with. And so what I would say is death is not the only metric to be watching closely. Certainly, we care a lot about it. It is, when we see those deaths go up, it is another marker that our health, healthcare infrastructure is also going to be more stressed. However, I also want to point out the fact that the incidence of long COVID, that long hauler, persistent symptoms from an initial COVID infection, it's not nothing. We're looking at prevalence, in the teens to 20%, which when you look on real numbers of how many people get infected with the virus, this is not insignificant. And so when we're talking at a population level, I think we really have to kind of change our perspective. Deaths are one thing, but there's a lot of comorbidity and, downstream effects that can cause medical issues, down the road that people should also be very cautious about.
And is there growing evidence that COVID-19 can cause the lasting cognitive and mental health problems that a lot of people have been complaining about? I mean, even people who recover you know, still say they've got fatigue or brain fog, they can't remember words, or they can't sleep well, or they've got PTSD or anxiety.
Yes, absolutely. We've seen all of those things. And actually, we have a comprehensive COVID clinic at Northwestern. And so I will see people who are referred for sleep issues that have arisen post-COVID specifically. But I have colleagues who see the pulmonary side of things. And so they're seeing people with persistent shortness of breath, despite the fact that their illness, went away months ago. So it's not insignificant. And so I think, again, along the lines of being a good steward for those around us and for those who may not have the same ability to protect themselves, I think we have to consider long COVID as something that's very real and something that we do actively have to work to prevent.
So at Northwestern, if you are one of those long COVID people, you can just simply reach out and try and make an appointment at that clinic to address some of those issues that seem to be carrying on long after the regular COVID symptoms are gone?
Yes, correct. We could accept new patients in one of two ways. So either as a self-referral, or if someone has a primary care doctor or even a specialist at another facility, they can also make the referral.
Like many of these past variants, South African scientists now say that it's these subvariants that are causing spikes in cases in their country. And some of their research is saying that it's capable of dodging antibodies acquired from prior COVID-19 infections. Is that what we're seeing in the U.S.? Because a lot of people think, well, I had it, I'm not going to get it, but they are being reinfected.
Yeah, again, another great question. And I think the data actually here is pretty striking, that even those infected with the previous Omicron strain, so those that had illnesses in December and January, were actually seeing a decent amount of immune evasion, meaning that the spike proteins have mutated enough with this new subvariant that even if you were infected back in December or January, you're not guaranteed to have neutralizing antibodies or, the optimally effective antibodies against the newest strain. So again, what that means clinically, time will tell. But I think whenever we're seeing that signal from the scientists who are doing the bench work, it makes us, kind of pause and say, this virus has thrown us for a loop multiple times before, and I wouldn't put it past it again.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us on Chicago's Afternoon News. And if we are vaccinated and boosted, we still have a good chance of being infected with these variants, correct?
Correct. And I think the idea is that even if you're vaccinated and boosted, you could still be a vector in the chain of transmission, right? And so that's where wearing a mask and doing all of the good steward things is really going to pay off.
Dr. Justin Fiala, critical care medicine and pulmonology at Northwestern Memorial Hospital. Steve has your news coming up next on 720 WGN.
Lisa Dent, WGN.